Thursday, and it's the penultimate chapter in Agatha Christie's classic tale, The Sittaford Mystery. One man has been found bludgeoned to death, and an important man at that. And while everyone takes a keen interest in the case, a convict has made an escape from the prison over the way.
The Sittaford Mystery by Agatha Christie, dramatised in five parts by Michael Bakewell, with Melinda Walker as Emily Trefusis, Stephen Tomkinson as Charles Enderby, and Geoffrey Whitehead as Inspector Narricot. Part 4, A Recipe for Ginger Cake. The time is 1931. The place, Dartmoor.
You're up bright and early this morning.
Yes, I'm going for a walk, Mrs. Curtis. I need some fresh air.
I hope you'll wrap up warm. It's very cold. Your cousin not going with you?
No, he won't be stirring for hours yet.
Well, keep your eyes open for that convict if you go out on the moor. They say he's a nasty customer.
Oh, nowhere much to hide up here. Nothing for miles around. Just bare rock and the snow lying very thick. Oh, that must be Exhampton down there in the valley. You ought to see things better when you're high up like this. It ought to be like lifting the top of a doll's house and peering in.
Excuse me.
Oh.
Miss Trefusis, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, my name is Ryecroft.
Oh.
Now, you must forgive me speaking to you, but in this little community of ours, the smallest detail is known, and your arrival here yesterday has naturally gone the rounds.
Oh.
I can assure you that everyone feels a deep sympathy with your position, Miss Trefusis.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
You know that a prisoner escaped from Princetown last night?
Yes, we heard the bell. Has he been recaptured?
Not that I've heard, but he'll be taken soon enough, poor fellow. No one has made a successful escape from Princetown in the last 20 years.
Which way is Princetown?
Oh, it's over there, to the south.
Oh.
Yes, there's fog over that part of the moor. Otherwise, we'd be able to see it. It's only 12 miles away as the crow flies.
It would have been a bitterly cold night to be out in the open with no kind of shelter.
Yes, it's curious how one's instincts rebel at the thought of a man being hunted down. And yet these men at Princetown are dangerous and violent criminals. You know, the kind of men that you and I would do our utmost to put there in the first place.
I suppose you're right.
Oh, you must forgive me, Mr. Trefusis, but I am deeply interested in the study of crime. Ornithology and criminology are my two subjects.
A curious combination.
I've always wanted to study a crime at close hand. Could I associate myself in your fight to find the real murderer of Captain Trevelyan? Will you allow me to place my experience at your disposal? I have read and studied the subject deeply.
Oh, please help me, Mr. Ryecroft. I am so very worried and unhappy.
Yes, you must be, my dear, you must be, but you must be frozen. How thoughtless of me. Now, look, why don't we go down to my cottage? Hmm? It's not really very far, and we can talk over a cup of coffee.
I've never seen so many books. If you get any more, you'll have to move out.
They represent my various obsessions. The criminology section is in the large room at the back. The bird books are on either side of the window, and the books on occult phenomena are over here.
Occult? Do you believe in the spirit world, Mr. Ryecroft?
Well, to a certain degree, Mr. Trefusis. Yes, I wouldn't go so far as to say
but
that...
What do you think about the table-turning business on the day of Captain Trevelyan's death?
Oh, an astonishing case. I've already sent an account of it to the Society for Psychical Research.
You know, somehow the table-turning seems to me to hold the key to the whole mystery. Tell me, were any of the people there, with the exception of yourself, in any way psychic?
Oh, my dear young lady, I myself am not psychic. No. I have no powers in that direction. I am only a deeply interested observer.
And what about Mr. Duke?
What about him?
Well, who is he?
But to tell you the truth, Miss Trefusis, nobody knows.
Well, how extraordinary.
No, as a matter of fact, it isn't. He's such a very unmysterious person. I should imagine the only mystery about him is his social origin. Yeah, but I wouldn't think he was possessed of psychic powers. No, one never knows, of course.
And Mr. Garfield?
Ronnie? Oh, a nice lad, but not remarkable in any way.
Well off, I suppose.
No, stony broke, I believe. He only comes down here to dance attendance on his aunt, from whom he has what people call expectations. Miss Pursehouse is a very sharp lady and knows what his attentions are worth, I think.
I should like to meet her.
Yes, you certainly must. She will, no doubt, insist on meeting you. Curiosity, alas, my dear Miss Trefusis. Curiosity.
So you're up at last?
And comfortably breakfasted. I was wondering if I ought to go over to Princetown. It's amazing how things pile up once you have a bit of luck.
I thought you were going to take photographs of Major Burnaby at his cottage.
I think I shall say that the weather's wrong. This escaped convict's too good a chance to pass over. Now, Mrs. Curtis is convinced he's holed up in some place called the Pixie's Cave. Well, I ought to take a look at that.
I say, Miss Trefusis.
Oh, who knows this?
I say, frightfully sorry to butt in and all that, but my aunt sent me along.
Is your aunt Miss Pursehouse?
That's right. So you know all about her?
A little. I suppose you're Mr. Garfield?
Yes, I ought to have told you. Well, the fact is, my aunt said she wanted to see you, and I was to come along and tell you so. Of course, if you've got a headache or something, it'll be quite all right and you needn't bother.
Oh, but I should like to bother. I'll come over with you straight away.
Oh, but that's simply splendid. Lots of girls would have been awfully offended. But you know what old ladies are. To tell you the truth, my aunt's rather a tartar.
Very kind of you, my dear, to come along and see an old woman. But you know what it is when you're an invalid. You must have a finger in every pie, and if you can't go to the pie, then the pie has to come to you. Ronnie?
Yes, Aunt Caroline?
Go out and paint the garden furniture.
Righto.
I suppose you pity me, Miss Trefusis, lying here, never able to get up and walk about.
No, I don't know that I do. If one has the determination, I suppose one can always get something out of life. If you can't get it in one way, you get it in another.
Quite right. You've got to take life from a different angle, that's all. Now let's get down to business. Not being a complete fool, I suppose you'll come up to the village to find out what you can about the people here and see if there's anything that has any bearing on the murder. You want to get your fiancé off the hook.
That's about it.
Well, if there's anything you want to know about the people here, I can tell you.
How about Major Burnaby?
Oh, typical retired army officer. Narrow-minded and limited in outlook. Jealous disposition. Credulous in money matters because he can't see a yard in front of his nose. He likes to pay his debts promptly and dislikes people who don't wipe their feet on the mat.
Mr. Ryecroft.
Queer little man. Enormous egotist. I suppose he's offered to help you solve the case owing to his wonderful knowledge of criminology.
There isn't much escapes you, Miss Pursehouse. Tell me about the Willetts.
The Willetts? You may well ask. I'll tell you something about them, my dear. It may be useful to you, it may not. Look in the top right-hand drawer of my dressing table. Bring me the blank envelope that's there.
Is this it?
Ah, thank you. Now, I don't say it's important. Everyone tells lies, and Mrs. Willett is perfectly entitled to do the same as everybody else. When the Willetts arrived here with their smart clothes and their maids, all their trunks were brought up by the station bus. I was looking out as they passed, and I saw a coloured label blown off one of the trunks into the garden. Now, if there's one thing I hate more than another, it is paper lying about on the borders. So, I sent Ronnie out to pick it up. It was a bright, pretty thing. I thought I might as well keep it for the scrapbooks I keep for the children's hospital. And I wouldn't have thought twice about it, except for Mrs. Willett saying she and Violet had never been out of South Africa.
And?
See for yourself.
Needles Hotel, Melbourne.
Australia isn't South Africa. At least it wasn't in my young days. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't know what that peculiar accent of theirs is, but it certainly isn't South African.
It certainly is curious. And it's even more curious that they should come to live here in the middle of winter.
Have you met the Willetts?
No. I thought of going there this morning, only I didn't know quite what to say.
Well, I'll provide you with an excuse. Now, fetch my fountain pen and some notepaper from the desk.
Yes, Miss Perthouse.
Ronnie? Ronnie! Why can't the boy come when he's called? Ronnie!
Is there anything the matter, Aunt?
Now, tell me, when you went to the Willetts yesterday, did you have any particular kind of cake for tea?
Cake?
What did you have to eat for tea?
Oh, there were some pâté sandwiches. Pretty frightful. Oh, and there was a ginger cake.
Ginger cake. That'll do. Go back to your painting, Ronnie.
Yes, Aunt.
But don't hang about. Oh, don't stand there with your mouth open. You had your adenoids out when you were 8 years old, so there's no excuse for it.
Oh, righto.
Here we are, Miss Perthouse, and a pen.
Ah, well, you'll have to write for me. My hand's much too trembly.
Yes, Miss Perthouse.
Dear Mrs. Willett, my nephew tells me you had the most delicious ginger cake for tea yesterday afternoon. Will you be so very kind as to give me the recipe for it? I know you'll not mind my asking you this. An invalid has so little variety in her diet. Miss Trefusis has kindly promised to take this note for me, as Ronnie is busy this morning.
Busy?
Is not the news about the convict too dreadful? Yeah. That should get you in.
Oh.
You'll probably find the doorstep littered with reporters. But you ask for Mrs. Willett and say you brought the note from me, and you'll sail in.
I'm sorry, miss, but Mrs. Willett isn't seeing anyone this morning.
I brought a note from Miss Perthouse. Would you kindly give it to her?
Oh, I see. Well, you'd better come inside. I'll take your note up.
Nothing very much in the way of clues lying about here. Glass tulips. A girl's hat. A Pierrot doll with remarkably long legs. And a distinct absence of family photographs.
Good morning, Mr. Trefusis. I'm sorry Mother isn't down. She's spending the morning in bed.
I'm so sorry. I must have come at an awkward time.
No, of course not. Cook is writing out the recipe for the cake now. Are you staying with Miss Perthouse?
I'm not exactly staying with her. In fact, I'm at Mrs. Curtis's.
Oh, of course. The cottage is terribly small and she has her nephew Ronnie staying with her. She's a wonderful person, but to tell you the truth, I'm rather afraid of her.
She is a bit of a bully, isn't she? But it must be an awful temptation to be a bully, especially if people won't stand up to you.
Oh, I wish I could stand up to people. We've been having the most awful morning, absolutely pestered by reporters.
Oh, of course. This was Captain Trevelyan's house. The man who was murdered at Exhampton.
Yes, wasn't it dreadful?
You don't mind talking about it?
No. No, of course not. Why should I?
The table turning sounds absolutely gruesome.
Oh, it was horrid. We thought at first it was somebody fooling about, only it seemed a very nasty kind of a joke.
Must have been rather frightening.
Yes, it was. I shall never forget when we turned the lights on, the look on everybody's faces. You could see that Major Burnaby was really rattled by it. And I thought poor little Mr. Rycroft was going to have a heart attack or something. And yet he's an expert at psychic research. You'd think he'd be used to that kind of thing. As for Ronnie, he looked as if he'd seen a ghost, actually seen one.
Awfully spooky.
And then Major Burnaby suddenly made up his mind to go down to Exhampton. We all tried to stop him and said he'd be buried in a snowdrift, but he would go. And we sat there after he'd gone, all feeling dreadful and worried. And then yesterday morning we got the news.
Do you think it was Captain Trevelyan's spirit? Or do you think it was clairvoyance or telepathy?
No idea what it was. But I do know that I shall never play around with things like that again.
Excuse me, miss, but cook asked me to give you this.
Thank you, Grace. It's the recipe for Miss Perthouse.
Oh, thank you.
As a matter of fact, you came just in time. This murder business has upset the servants. Goodness knows why. It isn't as if Captain Trevelyan had been killed in this house. Mother lost her temper with them all yesterday evening and sent them packing. Mm. They're going after lunch. We're going to get two men instead. Somebody to look after the house and a kind of butler chauffeur. I think it'll answer much better.
What made you think of coming to live here?
Oh, we thought it'd be rather fun.
Don't you find it dull in an isolated place like this?
Oh, no, I love the country.
Well, I'd better be going. Thank you so much, Miss Willett. I do hope your mother will be all right.
Oh, she's quite well, really. It's only the servants and all the worry.
Of course.
Well, let me show you out.
I didn't hear the maid turn the key in the lock. Count to 10 and let myself in again. Start to look for the gloves I left on the drawing room table. There must be a clue in there somewhere.
And was there?
Well, I didn't actually find anything, but I did overhear something very interesting.
Oh, tell me.
I stood around in the hall for a while. I could hear women's voices upstairs, Violet's and her mother's, but it was hard to make out what they were saying.
So?
Then Violet came down the stairs and we found my gloves. But before she came down, I did just catch a few words. Mrs. Willett said, "My God, I can't bear it. Will tonight never come?"
Oh, very odd.
Oh, we've got to find out what's going to happen tonight. Of course, it may be nothing at all. But the servants are being cleared out of the way very deliberately. Well, no one would sack all of them just like that. Mm. And another thing, the Willetts don't come from South Africa at all. Miss Pershouse found out that they come from Australia.
Really? Now, that is interesting. Mm.
Something queer is going to happen at Cityford House tonight, and you're going to be on the spot to see what it is.
Do you mean I have to spend the whole night shivering under a bush in the garden?
Well, you don't mind that, do you? Well, journalists are used to that sort of thing, surely.
What do you mean?
Oh, you will do it, won't you?
Yeah. Well, very well. Well, I wouldn't want to miss anything. But the fog's coming down again.
It won't stop me getting to Exeter, will it?
Well, why do you want to go to Exeter?
I have to meet Mr. Dacres there. He's my solicitor, and he's working on Jim's defence. And I think I shall pay a visit to Jim's Aunt Jennifer while I'm there. After all, Exeter isn't very far from Exhampton.
Well, meaning she might have nipped over by train and battered her brother over the head and no one would have noticed her absence.
Oh, I know it sounds rather improbable, but I'd have to go into everything. Not that I want it to be Aunt Jennifer. I'd much rather it were Martin Daring. He's an ideal person for a murderer. Always getting telegrams from bookmakers and losing money on horses. It's annoying that he's got such a good alibi. A publisher and a literary dinner seem so very unbreakable and respectable.
What did you say his name was?
Martin Daring.
When this dinner was on Friday night?
The night of the murder.
But that's astonishing. You know, I came down to Exhampton on Friday evening. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a lot of information about another story I was going to get from a pal of mine, another reporter. Carruthers, his name is.
But I don't see what that has
to do with... Well, he was coming round to see me at 6:30, if he could, before he went to some literary dinner. Well, he covers the highbrow stuff, does Carruthers. Well, and if he couldn't get round, he'd send me a line.
Can't you get to the point?
Don't be so impatient. Well, Carruthers didn't get round, so he sent me a line. But he must have been a bit screwed when he wrote it, because he didn't just give me the stuff I wanted, he gave me a full description of the dinner. Oh, he'd had a rotten time, apparently. Well, there was an empty seat on one side of him where Ruby McCallmott, that awful bestseller woman, ought to have been, and an empty seat on the other side where Martin Daring, the novelist...
What?
Yeah, so he moved up next to a poet who was very well known in Blackheath and tried to make the best of things.
So Daring wasn't at the dinner at all?
Exactly.
You're sure you remembered the name right?
Positive.
There's the publisher still, of course. The one he's supposed to have spent the afternoon with. But I rather think he was just going back to America. And if so, that looks fishy. I mean, it looks as though he'd selected someone who couldn't be checked up on without rather a lot of trouble.
Do you really think we've hit it?
Well, it looks like it. I think the best thing to do is to go straight to that night Inspector Narricot and tell him these new facts. Hmm. I mean, we can't tackle an American publisher who's in the middle of the Atlantic. That's a job for the police. Now, you'd better find out how I can get to Exhampton. The man at the smithy has a car of sorts, I believe. And there's just one other thing I want to do before leaving Cityford.
What's that?
I'm going to pay a call on Mr. Duke. He's the only person in Cityford I haven't seen, and he was one of the people at the table turning.
Oh, that's easy. We pass his cottage on the way to the smithy.
Well, well, well. Do you see what I see?
What?
The good inspector coming out of Mr. Duke's cottage. What a coincidence.
Hello, Inspector. What?
Sorry?
Emily Trefusis.
Oh, of course. Hello.
I'm so glad to have met you. There are one or two things I want to talk to you about.
Delighted, Miss Trefusis, but I'm afraid you'll have to look sharp. I have a car waiting. I've got to get back to Exhampton almost immediately.
Oh, how very fortunate. Could you give me a lift, Inspector?
Oh, I'd be very pleased to do so, Mr. Fuses.
Will you go and get my suitcase, Charles? It's all ready.
Right you are. I didn't expect to see you in Sittaford, Mr. Fuses.
I did say au revoir, Inspector.
I didn't notice at the time.
You've not seen the last of me by a long way. You've made a mistake, you know. Jim's not the murderer.
Indeed.
And what's more, I believe you agree with me.
Now, what makes you think that?
What were you doing in Mr. Duke's cottage? You're doubtful, aren't you? Well, I've got something to tell you that may help. I'll tell you all about it on the way to Exhampton.
You must prepare yourself for a shock, Emily.
What do you mean, Mr. Dacres? What's happened?
Things are much worse for James Pearson than we imagined.
Worse?
Certain facts have come to light which are bound to go against him. It is those facts which led the police to charge him with the crime.
Please tell me.
There's no doubt that he was in urgent need of money. He'd been borrowing, to use a euphemism, from his firm without their knowledge. I don't know whether you knew he was fond of speculating in shares.
I didn't.
Well, on one occasion recently, knowing that certain dividends were to be paid into his account in a week's time, he anticipated them by using the firm's money to buy certain shares which he had knowledge were bound to go up. The transaction was quite satisfactory, and Pearson doesn't seem to have any doubts about its honesty, but just over a week ago, he did the same thing again. Oh. And what he didn't know was that the time for examining the firm's books had been brought forward, and he was faced with a very unpleasant dilemma. He knew he would be found out, and he was quite unable to raise the money.
Oh, dear.
As a last resort, he rushed down to try to persuade his uncle to help him. This, Captain Trevelyan resolutely refused to do. So you see, my dear Emily, the police have a very pressing motive for the crime. Mm. The moment Captain Trevelyan was dead, Pearson could easily have obtained the necessary sum as an advance from Mr. Kirkwood, saved himself from disaster and probable criminal prosecution.
Oh, the idiot. The absolute idiot. But, Mr. Dacres, do you believe that he did it?
Curiously enough, I do not. He hasn't, if you will allow me to say so, Emily, of a very high standard of commercial honesty. Mm. But I do not believe for one moment that he sandbagged his uncle.
Well, that's a good thing. Mm. I only wish the police thought the same.
Can I offer you another cup of coffee?
No, thank you. I have got quite a lot to fit in while I'm here.
Where are you off to now, then?
I'm off to see Jim's Aunt Jennifer. Huh? She isn't expecting me, so I'm not certain what kind of reception I'll get.
Mrs. Gardner's out at the moment, but she should be back shortly. Would you care to wait?
Thank you, I will. I'm Emily Trefusis, Jim Pearson's fiancée.
Oh, the man who's been Oh, I'm sorry, miss.
Don't worry, it's quite all right.
Perhaps you'd like to sit down in the drawing room, miss.
Thank you. It must have been a terrible shock for Mrs. Gardner.
Yeah, I'm sure it must have been.
It's queer to think she was actually at the pictures when her brother was being killed.
Oh, I suppose so, miss. But she wasn't to know.
Didn't she have some strange kind of vision or premonition? Wasn't it you who met her in the hall when she came in and said she looked quite pale?
Oh, no, miss. It wasn't me. I didn't see her come in. It wasn't till I went to take some hot water to her room at 7 o'clock that I saw her. It gave me quite a shock to see her lying in the dark on the bed.
I see.
Will that be all, miss?
Yes, thank you. Oh, let's look at the railway timetable. So, where does that get us? Jennifer leaves Exeter St. David's at 3:10. Arrives Exhampton 3:45. Time allowed for going to brother's house and murdering him, say, half an hour to three quarters. So, what are the trains back? There's one at 4:25. But if she wasn't seen before 7, she could have got the 6:10 and could easily have been lying on her bed by the time the maid found her.
So, you are Emily Trefusis. Well, this is a surprise. Have you had tea?
Well, I...
Then we'll have it here. Beatrice?
Yes, ma'am?
Could you take a tray of tea up to my husband and his nurse and then bring in tea for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to talk about things, Emily, or don't you? If you don't, I shall quite understand.
It isn't much good talking about them, is it?
We can only hope that they find the real murderer quickly. Robert, my husband, has been very upset over all this. He works himself up into such curious states. I suppose it's all part of his illness, really.
But he didn't know Captain Trevelyan well, surely?
He neither knew him nor cared about him. To be honest, I myself can't pretend any great sorrow over his death. He was a cruel, grasping man, Emily. He knew the struggle we have had, and the poverty. He knew that a loan of money at the right time might have given Robert special treatment that would have made all the difference. Well, retribution has overtaken him.
Surely there must be something that...
Oh, it may still not be too late. I wrote to the lawyers in Exhampton today to ask them if I could have a certain sum of money in advance. The treatment I have in mind has been described by some as a quack remedy, but it has been successful in a large number of cases. How wonderful it would be if he could walk again. Aren't you feeling well, dear? You look quite pale.
No, it's all right. I just feel a bit tired, that's all.
Oh, you poor child. Oh, it's so unfair that Jim should be arrested. I only wish that somebody could do something about it.
Going out to meet your cousin, Mr. Enderby?
Oh, goodness no, Mrs. Curtis. Emily won't be back tonight. She's staying down in Exeter.
Then why are you putting your overcoat on?
Oh, just going out for a stroll.
At this time of night, in this weather, you'll catch your death.
Oh, nothing like a breath of fresh air before turning in.
I hope you've got your key.
I shan't be disturbing you. Good night. She's right, of course. Nobody in their right mind would be out on a night like this. Just like a woman, waltzing off to Exeter and leaving me to do the dirty work. Thank God I remembered to bring a hip flask. Yeah, one solitary light in Sitterford House. Those two women will be there all by themselves. Will tonight never come? What did she really mean? God, it's cold and the fog's getting worse. 11:40, it feels like 4 a.m. Oh well, here goes. Oh, they're opening a door. Someone's standing out there, the Fair Violet, I think, waving a torch. Oh, she's coming this way. Someone's answering. She's flashing something out of the bushes. I must get a closer look at him.
There's someone there. What the hell do you think you're doing?
Let go of me.
Bloody snooper, that's got you. Oh, son of...
It's the man who's staying in the village. He's a reporter.
Easy. What are you doing, you slimy little toad, nosing around private grounds at this time of night? What's your name?
My name is Charles Enderby. You haven't told me yours.
That's no concern of yours.
Oh, you're wrong there. And I think I know what it is.
What the devil do you mean?
I think that I have the pleasure of addressing Mr. Brian Pearson, lately returned from Australia. Is that so?
In the fourth part of The Sitterford Mystery by Agatha Christie, Emily Trefusis was played by Melinda Walker and Charles Enderby by Stephen Tomkinson. Mrs. Curtis, Barbara Atkinson. Rycroft, John Moffat. Ronnie Garfield, Nigel Greaves. Miss Pursehouse, Margaret Courtney. Dora, Jane Slavin. And Inspector Narricot was played by Geoffrey Whitehead. Violet, Victoria Carling. Mr. Dacres, David King. Beatrice, Alice Arnold. Mrs. Gardner, Anna Cropper, and Brian Pearson, Charles Simpson. The Sitterford Mystery was dramatised and directed by Michael Bakewell.
And tomorrow, in the final chapter of the story, suspicions are...